officially back together. Your favorite morning threesome. Didn't really think about that delivery.
Well, I was going to say, speak for yourself on that one. I'm glad to be part of your favorite, but I don't know that you'd be part of mine. I hate to break that news to you.
Well,
I don't know.
Really good threesome.
You know. See? Yeah. You better be careful or Mac's going to throw something on the table that they threw on that WNBA court last night.
I tell you what, that was, I mean, my
goodness. Lime green.
On the floor, just like you've never seen it before in all its glory out there on the dance floor last night.
Because we all know how, maybe we don't, but we know how, like, you've been in television, right? You've done stuff in college. You know what a technical director is?
Oh, yeah.
The guy that's calling the shots.
That's right.
Yep.
Ready camera four, take camera four. That's on them.
And he goes right to that. No, I mean, you don't need to show that. But, I mean, you do because
you do.
I think you know, when it first happened, we saw that in the NFL a few years ago. Somebody threw one at the referee. I think it was up in Buffalo. It was Buffalo Patriots, if I'm not mistaken. And somebody threw one of those on the field when Tom Brady scored a touchdown. And the camera, of course, went right to it because you want to see immediately, oh, what did they – oh, my God, they threw that onto the court? Oh, my goodness, what are we doing here?
You said you have audio of this mishap last night?
We do. We have audio of it? Yeah. Oh, all right.
Sounds great.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Get the object up yet? You guys. Oh my gosh. Okay. Okay. Inappropriate. Get him out of here, whoever it is.
Yeah, well, no, I think they want to throw the person out of the crowd on that one. That's when everybody gets in their holy roller, you know, mindset. It was funny. You know, don't throw objects and stuff onto the field. That's stupid. But let's not act like, oh, my God, somebody just moved mountains here or did something so disgraceful that we can't. What are we going to tell the children? You tell them it's a toy and you move on. It's not
that's
hard.
That's not a lie.
No, it's not. That's exactly what you tell them. It's a toy. You're not lying
to
me.
Scotty, that's a novelty.
Yeah, that's exactly
right.
You'll
know what that is later.
You can get that at Priscilla's later on today or something like that. You know?
Is it Pra or Sa?
Priscilla's or Priscilla? I forget.
Cyrilla's?
Cyrilla's. That's what it is. Yeah, it used to be Priscilla's.
Because at least Summit, you can knock out an entire night in 5 feet.
5 feet?
Yeah, 291 South, man. Yeah. You can go to... what is it? Hawaiian Bros?
Yeah.
Right next to it's Custard's Last Stand.
Oh, very nice.
Cyrilla's.
Boom, boom, boom. Yeah.
You can knock it all out.
Dinner, dessert, and dessert.
That's right. Yeah, dude. It's so funny to me. I'm like, who thought of this? And the longest standing place is Cyrilla's. Yeah. I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, so. those last forever. But it used to be Priscilla's back in the day. It did. Because I remember that. And then they changed it to Cyrilla's because that was going to make a difference, I guess, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
So somebody had fun at Cyrilla's last night before they went to a WNBA game. But I mean, we take things so seriously anymore. Like, oh my God, can you believe what's going on out there? Like the Sydney Sweeney blowback that everybody has right now.
That's
like,
Max Lady, man.
I mean, my goodness. I was like, Brooke Shields is trending today, and I clicked on that, and they were showing her ads from back in the 90s, and like, people are mad because Sydney Sweeney's an ad for jeans right now? Like, what the hell have we come to as a country? My God.
Yeah, do you
think they're a little bit different, but yeah, I agree. Yeah, I would say they're a lot different, but yeah, I agree.
No, it's people complaining about stuff, though. I mean, like, nah, it's nonsense. Like,
I would say they're different severities. This is Sydney Sweeney thing is preposterous, but the throwing a sex toy on the court is, I mean
it's
not
wrong,
great.
But it's not
a woman's
end
game.
Of
no,
the
of course
world.
Not. Of course not, but I think that woman's right. Yeah, get that guy out of here.
No, that person absolutely should be ejected.
Inappropriate.
They could have thrown a basketball on the floor, and they should have been ejected.
I have three questions about the novelty being thrown onto a court. One, color of choice. Like lime green.
Yeah. Green, baby.
Yep. We're just rocking Shrek's rod out here as a toy. Two, what mind process do you have where you're like, you know what I'm going to do tonight, man?
Well, yeah, that's the
issue.
I'm
going to buy me a rubber novelty and chuck it on the court.
Because
I still don't understand, like, when they throw the catfishes on the Nashville court, are they selling those at the stadium?
Oh, no.
You have to sneak the catfish in.
Right?
Yeah.
Not only that, my third question, you got to sneak that toy in.
That's right.
So are you just... Well, prosthetic? How are you doing this?
Yeah, but my question
Hello,
is,
America?
Where the hell is the security? Like, we go through all these security things at these gates and whatnot to get into these games,
right? Oh, no, we
don't.
I walked right in last night.
I know,
You're good.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
Right, like, that, but exactly what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Like, we've got all of these fallacies. Like, we're all walking through all this security and whatnot, and then somebody brings something into a game, and they get right in with it. And it's not just that. That's a small item you could probably hide, right? But, like, a catfish or a salmon or, you know, like in Detroit, they throw stuff onto the ice as well.
What's the octopus?
Seals or whatever. Octopus. Yeah, that's what it is. Not a seal. He's throwing a seal on. Is that a seal in your pocket, sir? Just go to the hockey game. Nothing to see here. And
there it goes.
Yeah, and there's the seal or octopus. Yeah, but people are sneaking that kind of stuff in. So, I mean, look, it happens. And if you do throw something on the court, you absolutely should be ejected and whatnot. But I think sometimes we go a little bit too far with the shaming of people, too. That is just disgraceful. I can't believe somebody would do that.
Yeah, what did Sydney Sweeney do? Like, she just took a photo in jeans?
Right. Yeah, exactly. And people
is there
are,
more to it than that?
I'm wondering, too, because when I see Brooke Shields trending, I think immediately, oh, my God, somebody died.
Agassi.
You know, and yeah, exactly. And Billy Joel. And I mean, it's and so I look like, oh, my God, what's going on? It's just her with the Calvin Klein ads from years ago. And they're comparing it to Sydney Sweeney. And so I looked at Dusty. I'm like, people are mad at the Sydney Sweeney American Eagle ad. Like,
yes, sir.
Can I get off this planet, man? Like, is there a stopping point where I can just jump off because people are complaining about a model advertising jeans?
Somebody's really happy with it this morning from the 660. It worked. You guys are talking about the WNBA. Oh, LOL.
Yeah, that's exactly why they did that. So three blowhards in Kansas City would talk about. Yeah, I don't even know who played the game or where it took place last night.
So is your favorite following Barstool Sports, so eat it.
Yeah.
So Mac's back. You're back. Well, you've been here. I'm back. We're all here together.
Right. We've got Cody and Gold with us today, too.
Yeah, why are you just really holding on to Alex?
I don't know. He's so much smaller than Cody. Like, I don't understand this. Like, Cody's his dad. I mean, look at the size difference in these two.
It's like David and Goliath.
It really is. Like, Cody's this, like, giant, and Alex is like, please, Cody, let me sing. And Cody's like, I will do all the singing. And Alex is like, please, Cody, but I have a song. And Cody's like, Alex, I do the singing around here. And that's it.
Cody looks like Alabama man from the South Park bit.
Like, I don't
Alabama man.
Alex is this little midget guy. Sorry, Alex. I mean, you're a little tiny dude right here. And
it's Cody's fantasy.
And then Cody's this giant Igor looking, like lurch looking guy.
Someone else has watched the clip last night. Are we sure it got thrown from the crowd and didn't fall out of someone's back? Oh, man. No, but welcome to somebody says fallacies. Well done, Bob. Welcome to the show. On Wednesday, we'll get to the poll question today, which is going to piss a lot of people off. Back, I don't know if you know this or not. People are upset with Bob and I for glazing Josh Simmons.
Why?
Yeah.
I don't know. We're overhyping it.
What?
Yeah, I guess.
Impossible.
I was telling him, I said, I don't really pay attention to much of what goes on the text line because it just takes me to a different world that I don't need to be in for most days.
BBL stinky.
And he's like, yeah, people are complaining about our love for Josh Simmons. And I got a text yesterday from a buddy of mine who's a huge Ohio State guy. He's like, can you believe what this guy is doing right now up there at training camp? Like, I was telling Dane and Hughes last night, too. I'm like, look, man, I'm like, there's like no storylines at camp. Josh Simmons came in, ripped people's faces off, and that was it. And here we sit. Like, there's really nothing to kind of talk about. People are getting mad that we're having a good time talking about Josh Simmons being that left tackle guy. We'll talk to Binkley coming about it because I talked to Binkley yesterday a lot about Josh Simmons. And
are his plums going a little bit now?
No. And he said
he compared
that,
him to who?
He compared him to Kingsley, Suamataia, and said, well, all the hype was around Kingsley last year around training camp.
No,
and so
it was not like
so
this.
He that's what I'm thinking, too. That's kind of what I'm thinking. The hype was not like this.
Not even like this.
He goes, but everybody crowned this guy and whatnot. And I'm like, yeah, they did early on because we were like desperate. I think sometimes in sports and in life, we accept things into our life that we think are good when they're not because we want them to be good. And sometimes we overvalue players and coaches and whatnot because we want them to be the next, like the Bears do with every quarterback. And so, yeah, I think last year maybe we overvalued Kingsley because we wanted him to be that guy. But now it sure looks like Josh Simmons is that guy. That guy's the regulator up there at camp. He's not taking any prisoners, and he's beating the snot out of everybody who comes in his way.
Speaking of beating the snot out of everybody that comes in their way on Netflix, you watched it, Happy Gilmore 2? You had some time off?
Still, I did see
okay,
it.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. 46.7 million views in 3 days, making it the biggest U.S. opening weekend ever for a Netflix film. That's insane.
It's nuts, man. Like, it's almost 50 million. That's an NFL playoff game. Like,
it will get broken.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Stranger Things will break that on Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I'm sure probably. Well, I don't know, man.
Oh, like, 50 million people will watch. They've been waiting for 50 years to watch.
That's a fair point. Well, we've been waiting for 30 years for this Happy Gilmore Part 2 to come out.
But if you tell me you didn't watch it, you're lying.
Yeah.
You may not have liked it.
Yeah.
You know,
fine.
It's okay.
Yeah, it was fine. I wasn't mad about it.
Yeah, it wasn't like, I wasn't watching this hoping it was going to be like Oscar worthy.
But no. I think some people sure will. I mean, like sure. I'm looking at this thing and I'm like, this was no cinematic genius or anything like that. It was a fun movie.
Yeah, it was fun. Exactly. It was,
like, what were you expecting going in? And 50 million people, roughly the size of the audience that watches the AFC and NFC championship game, tuned in and watched the Happy Gilmore movie. Now, obviously, it wasn't all concurrent like that. It was over the weekend. But still, I mean, that's the type of number. The NFL is going to brag about their numbers all the time. On a streaming service that you have to pay extra for, almost 50 million people have already watched this movie. Home run for Netflix.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. The complaints I heard about it was the last 30 minutes were just over the top, like, annoying. It was just like, okay, we got it. The plot of, like, dance kind of disappeared towards like the last 40 minutes where it's like, oh, I thought this was a movie about, you know, whatever. And then I know a lot of people are kind of just like, it's kind of annoying that he's just like a drunk.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, he's kind of mocking athletes. They're mocking Liv. It's all Adam Sandler being Adam Sandler in a way without being Adam Sandler. Right. Like, I'm a big advocate of the PGA Tour. I don't like the Liv Golf Tour, but yet you had two Liv Golf Tours on to share three. Bubba was there. Mm-hmm. Maybe more than that.
Is the Liv still Sergio a thing? Is that still going?
Oh, yeah.
Is Better it? Believe. Okay.
Yeah. Never heard of him.
Yeah. I mean, nobody's even mentioning that thing. Right
it's
now.
On the CW.
Yeah.
So, but 46.7 million, that's a slam dunk, home run, huge. Grand slam, awesome. Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Great job by them
for them. So it was really good to kind of see that and see that movie succeed, because what were we talking about last night, the game, that there was people from what, age 35 to 13 watching this movie?
Yeah.
And half those people in that demographic weren't alive when the first one came out. Right. So I'd love to see when it peaked the highest. And I think we talked about that. I think probably like around like Friday around 7:30. I bet there was just an absolute spike.
Yeah.
When everybody was like, oh, well, I don't really want to do anything tonight. I'll just watch this and watch the first one, or, you know, do whatever it
sure,
was.
Sure. So. Yeah. And Happy Gilmore, the original one, is going away from Netflix here real soon, maybe at the end of the month. And so you got another couple of days to kind of watch that. If you want to see that on Netflix, I'm sure you can find it elsewhere as well. But yeah. I mean, 46.7 million, not surprised at all, because you mentioned everybody on your flight was watching, everybody we were with, you know, at the lake this weekend, we all sat around and watched, like, everybody wanted to watch it. And as soon as I even suggested, hey, let's watch Happy Gilmore 2, everybody's like, yeah, let's go, let's watch it. And so everybody was paying attention to this movie over the weekend. And if you didn't like it, keep those comments to yourself. There's nothing to complain about. It was a fun, easy to watch movie and gave you everything you needed.
Let's talk about Josh Simmons on the other side, because that is clearly the story of camp yesterday. And so far in the, what, 7-8 days they've been there, it's been the Josh Simmons camp. We'll dive into it on the other side here. 96.5 The Fan, your own for Kansas City Sports. Coming up at 6:45, Matt Cotrero coming up at 9.
Binkley's going to be fun today, dude. Fun day for Jay Binkley.
BBL Binkley.
That's exactly right.
BBL Stinky.
You know, he's ready to go, too, right? Like, if you call him right now, he'd answer.
Do you see him fighting on Twitter last night with people coming after him?
What was going on there last night?
I don't know, man.
You got to ask him that as well.
I left the Royals game, and we had a wonderful night with the Odyssey crew at the game last night, just staring directly into the sun.
Right.
As I get into my car, and I get home, I get on Twitter, and I see Binkley just, I mean,
just firing Patrick Mahomes stats at people for, I don't know, he wasn't really responding to anybody, I don't think, but he was just out there firing hot takes
into
about the Chiefs, about 17 yeah. playoff wins and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, what?
Mic drop.
Who got under Binkley's skin last night?
Hopefully, I mean, a female.
Yeah, I would, yeah, for his sake, right? I
just want to win, Jim.
Yeah, who fought more yesterday, Josh Simmons or Binkley on Twitter?
Binkley on Twitter, actually, because they kind of nip the Josh Simmons thing in the bud. Mm-hmm. And I jokingly ask you guys, is it time to extend Josh Simmons right now and get him signed up to a long-term deal? Because you're seeing around the NFL, the Colts have agreed to a 4-year, $100 million extension with Bernard Raymond. A league source confirmed $60 million guaranteed. They've got to pay Josh Simmons now, I think, right? You know, take this stuff away, buy him out of his 5 free years of, you know, being on this roster and getting ready to go. And I talk to Binkley every Tuesday about what we want to talk about on Wednesday. And I'm always interested to see where his mind is sitting when it comes to football. And he texted me yesterday that he wants to talk about, first and foremost, Harrison Butker being Brett Veach's best decision ever, right? He thinks that's the best move that Brett Veach has ever made, going out and getting Harrison Butker. Not to steal the thunder, but we'll talk about that with Binkley coming up in about 20 minutes or so. Hard to disagree, I mean, on that, right? You can make the case for a lot of guys, but this Harrison Butker guy, I've been telling you since probably about the Super Bowl now, he's one of the most underrated, undervalued players in all of the NFL. And Binkley said to me, he said to me in text, Josh Simmons has a chance to be Brett Veach's best pick in the history of him drafting here in Kansas City and picking players here in Kansas City in the history of him being the general manager. He thinks Josh Simmons has that opportunity. He also cautioned me and said we were all very high on Kingsley last year as well as we went into training camp. But what Josh Simmons is doing up there, guys, cannot be understated. I know it's training camp and whatnot, but he is taking control. He is asserting himself, and he is showing that he's a badass dude up there on the football field right now. And ain't nobody else going to want to see what's going on. McAfee was talking about it yesterday. That's how big an impact that this guy is having.
The steal of the draft.
The steal of the draft is what people are calling Josh Simmons right now. And so after watching him yesterday, not back down, not be afraid, attack people. He went after Ashton Gelati yesterday. Mm-hmm. He's going after other dudes on the field, and he's asserting himself. He's showing people around the team, but also around the NFL, hey, a left tackle has arrived in Kansas City, and gone are the days of you guys feasting on the left side of this offensive line, because Josh Simmons is here to regulate some stuff, bro.
Mount up, right?
Yeah.
So I saw a graphic yesterday, and it showed all the left tackles for Patrick Mahomes, and then it showed all the left tackles for Tom Brady and like his.
Cool.
And Tom Brady's left tackle for basically the entire career is Matt Light. Whereas Patrick Mahomes, it was like this guy, that guy, this guy, this guy, that guy, this guy. And you're like, oh, well, okay.
Yeah.
Because we did it yesterday, and Adam Schein, you think we should give Max some audio of what Adam Schein had to say yesterday about who his top quarterbacks are?
Yeah.
Okay, so this was
Patrick Mahomes is all good.
Right. So Schein had this to say yesterday, Mac.
2025 quarterbacks. I think the top four are pretty crystal clear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tier number one. Josh Allen's best quarterback in the NFL. Lamar Jackson would be number two.
Jackson.
Joe Burrow would be number three. Patrick Mahomes, who's arguably the second best quarterback of all time.
Wow.
For 2025, is the fourth best quarterback in the NFL.
Second best of
all
time.
So those are my top four quarterbacks in the NFL. Allen, Jackson, Burrow, Mahomes.
Second best of all time, but fourth in 2025.
Yeah, you got to explain that one to me.
Kind of like explain the difference between Cody and Alex here. Like, why is what do we got going?
Alex is a little guy, but
he's a growing boy.
Well, there's one over there. So you look at this situation that is Patrick Mahomes and what Josh Simmons brings, because there is no more important player on this roster for Patrick Mahomes than Josh Simmons.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
If he gives Patrick Mahomes just two more seconds, look out. And you look at everything, and this is me glazing Patrick Mahomes for 5 seconds. So all you people that hate that this sort of conversation happens, Mahomes has not been what people want to see that they've seen before, because the inconsistencies at wide receiver health and the inconsistencies at left tackle. I'm sorry, but in order to have a good quarterback in this league, you need to be protected. You need to have some sort of weapon to throw to. If you don't have the weapons and you have a good quarterback, then you need the protection. Mahomes has not had that in the last 30 NFL football games.
Right.
And yet he's still gone to two Super Bowls and still done it. Yet that just gets pushed aside because he's not throwing for 4,500 yards and 45 touchdowns.
Well, exactly, because people look at those numbers and they're all fantasy dorks, and that's how they live and die and judge football. They don't look at the actual games. And, it's proof that they don't look at the actual games. As we discovered during the playoffs, people don't watch games anymore. They watch Red Zone, and they don't understand the basics of football and how a football team actually functions.
Right. And I think the other thing, too, about it is that when you think about what Patrick Mahomes is, has been, and will continue to be, you throw in the fact that the first part of the tier of this conversation outside of Josh Simmons is you look at the wide receivers yesterday, which, good Lord, get them off the field yesterday. Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce, Juju Smith-Schuster, bringing Stool, the guy that Mac likes,
right,
and all these guys that he could be accompanied with throughout the offensive side. And then all of a sudden you think to yourself, okay, the guy they signed out of San Francisco, Jalen Moore, he might play left guard.
He may play guard, yep.
And he's been running with the ones. Mm-hmm. And then you look at who might be left tackle. the steal of the draft, and you sit here and be like, oh, Bob and Dusty just glazing the Chiefs. They get right. paid by the Chiefs. Did you know we get paid by the Chiefs?
You know, I've not received a check from them yet. Yeah.
That'll come on the 15th.
Oh, the 15th? Okay.
And then,
thank you. So, a little late this month? Is that what you're saying? That's right. It usually comes on the 1st.
That's right. And so, but when you have guys like McAfee and you have guys like Ian Rappaport who are out here saying, hey, this guy actually might be the real deal. I don't know what they do besides watch football. Right? They try to have a life outside of it, but it just doesn't happen. So these guys are locked in and they're seeing this. And when you see a grown man at the age of what, 22, 23?
Man, we're just out there competing, having fun. You know, off the field, we're all loving brothers, but once we're on here, we're trying to knock each other's head off. So it's all love.
So, I mean, it took 3 days in pads to literally 2 days, 3 days in pads for these guys to show what they can bring. And it's not like he's out here pancaking a strong safety. It's not like, you know, what's his face? Your boy, the safety.
Jaden Hicks.
It's not like Jaden Hicks is blitzing and Josh Simmons just throws him on his ass.
Right, of course.
It's not like McDuffie's doing his classic blitz out of the slot and he's throwing him down. It's Creed Humphrey in one-on-one, who's a grown-ass man who might be one of the strongest people on this team. It's Ashton Gelati, who's a huge defensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
It's all these guys that he's just continuing to show. And then you hear the audio of Travis Kelce with his brother on New Heights. When they're like, he grabbed me by the shoulders and I was just locked up like, whoa.
Well, and that's the thing. When you hear former players and current players talk about it, it means a hell of a lot more than anything that we can say or anything that Ian Rappaport or anybody like that can sit out there and say about these guys. You've got Pat McAfee, who I know he was a punter, but he played in the NFL. He knows what he's looking at. You got Travis Kelce. You got Jason Kelce. You've got all of these guys that have been around the game for a very long time talking about a guy who's literally never played one snap in the NFL. And Binkley did say that. He goes, hey, you and I have played more snaps in the NFL than this guy. It's not true. But he said same amount of snaps in the NFL as this guy, right? Like you and I have played the same amount of snaps as this guy in the NFL. So let's cool our jets. But he has everybody talking, and he has everybody talking because people are realizing what they're seeing right now. They're seeing the completion of this Chiefs team right in front of their very eyes. And for the entire offseason, since the Super Bowl ended, we got our ass kicked down in New Orleans. People have been running down this organization. They've been running down Patrick Mahomes. They've been running down Travis Kelce. They've been running down everything associated with the Chiefs. And they're no good anymore. They're no good anymore. They're no good anymore. I saw something today that yesterday, and we'll talk more about it maybe tomorrow, but the guy, A.Q. Shipley is the guy's name, 12-time NFL veteran, 12-year NFL veteran, pro bowler, is now the new color analyst for the Arizona Cardinals radio broadcast. He said yesterday the interior of the Chiefs line, three on the inside, is the best by far in the NFL. I don't know who he had at left tackle, but what we're seeing now is the realization the realization of people around the NFL that are putting away summer and looking at this league and starting to realize, holy bleep, the Chiefs have done it again. And that's why people are mad. That's why people are upset, because they don't want it to be true, because they realize once again, the Chiefs went out there and took their biggest need and possibly made it into a strength.
The kid they got out of Ohio State, I said this after the draft, whenever you had me on the show, I said he was a top 10 pick. Josh Simmons, left tackle. The clips of him coming out, he is a top 10 pick if he doesn't get hurt against Oregon last year. They get him with literally one of the last picks of the first round, and he is going to be their franchise left tackle for the next 10 to 12 years. And they got an absolute steal with him. The clips coming out of him, here it is. Look, he's just shutting guys down, and he makes it look smooth. He's throwing guys like
a little dog.
Yeah, he's got a little dog in him. I mean, he was arguably the best tackle in the draft before he gets hurt. He gets to go late to Kansas City in the first round. They got an absolute steal. It was an injury that a lot of teams were concerned with, but, I mean, he's young. He's coming back. He looks fierce. He's smooth as can be. He's athletic. He's strong. He's got the size. This could be a key piece for the Kansas.
Yeah, the Kansas Chiefs. He's right. No, he's right. He got that right. Yeah.
By the way, do you guys know how old Pat McAfee is?
45, probably.
That sounds, that sounds right.
38.
Oh, 38.
Wow. So he retired, I guess.
He retired young. No, I remember when he retired and he said he was retiring from football to go in the media. And I remember having the conversation with Josh, like, good luck, pal. He did okay.
Right.
Like, what are you doing that for? You're still a good punter.
Yeah.
Why would you quit the NFL to do this?
Right.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
Oh, got it.
Makes
home
sense.
Home run, Pat. Way to go, buddy. Don't listen to me give advice.
Hold my beer, Fesco.
Yeah.
You enjoy Kansas City. I'll enjoy Hollywood.
I'll enjoy the world.
Yeah. So that's what, you know, and that's kind of what I do when I look at these things and I think about, you know, what we're going to talk about. Like when you think about Josh Simmons, like, how do you not sound biased? Well, when you listen to other people talk on, you know, national television shows, and I know there's people that have leaked from KC to national television that have the same sort of opinions that we have. But I mean, that guy that was on McAfee's show, he has no affiliate.
Yeah,
he
that was AQ Shipley, right? Yeah,
was that, yes, that was AQ Shipley. Yeah.
You know, he has nothing to say other than like what he sees. And when you see a guy like this and you hear over and over and over again that this is a steal in the draft, there should have been a top 10 pick. Like, how many people in Detroit were mad at Detroit that they took Jameis Williams after he got his ACL torn in the national title game?
Yep.
And yet he still got drafted in the top 10.
Yep.
And they're like, yeah, it's fine. There's, this guy's going to be all right. And he just can't stay out of trouble, but he's a stud. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden you have Brett Veach and the Chiefs, son of a buck. They did it again. They found a steal. And here he is getting picked late in the draft. And oh, by the way, what is its biggest attribute? Patrick Mahomes, who everybody hates, who everybody says is no longer the best quarterback in football, who doesn't have what he used to have 2 years ago, who's not going to be the same quarterback that everybody thinks. I'm excited to see what Josh Simmons brings to this team because of what it can do as a domino effect for the entire offense.
Yeah, this is the NFL now, and everybody in this league waking up to the realization that the Chiefs are officially back. And there's no more knocking that you can do on this team. There's no more complaining. There's no more saying, this is weak, that's weak, this is weak, that's weak. They went out there and they solved everything. They solved their biggest right. problem. And you open that door, you open that paper in the morning, and you're like, oh, my God, they've done it again.
And I'm with everybody else, too. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say I'm not. I do want to see what it looks like in real time.
Yeah.
Camp's fun. Camp's your own team. You kind of know what's coming when you're the offense. You know that you're hearing Spags jump out and say whatever they want. But, like, you're seeing him with the endurance, and you're seeing no injury sort of issue.
But you're also seeing him take control of this thing, too, and assert himself.
And not only that, but he's handling all pros on his own team. It's like the Chiefs or the Browns where they have some Joe Schmo playing center.
Right.
The best center in football is getting thrown down like a rag doll by a rookie. So that's eye-opening.
Trey Smith, he's coming for you.
And I would love
to see a great battle.
That'll be the best battle at camp.
Yeah, and I'm torn. I don't know if I'd rather see him against Trey Smith or him against Chris Jones.
I saw one against Chris Jones. Chris looked like he was going like 75%, but Josh Simmons, I mean,
you got a meter on that or something? Or,
I mean, just definitely wasn't going 100%. You know what I mean? Yeah, but you know what I'm saying.
I think Trey Smith would be a tougher matchup. And the reason I say that is because he's a grizzly offensive lineman that plays on that interior. Defensive lineman, and this is no shot at all, they've become more finesse guys over the years, right? These offensive guards, that's why I thought it was so important that he beat the snot out of Creed Humphrey, because Creed's one of those guys. I mean, he's an offensive lineman that plays center, for God's sakes. Those guys know how to cheat and steal and do all that kind of stuff on the interior of the line. You see it all the time. And if he's taking care of business against the interior offensive lineman, that shows a lot more to me than the defensive line, because those guys are grunts in the middle of that offensive line. All they do is live to beat up people.
So, go ahead.
I was just saying, how am I not supposed to be excited about this?
Because you can't.
But you're a homer. Because
you're a homer.
They don't want you to be excited. Nobody wants excitement in sports. Nobody wants fun in sports anymore. We want to analyze everything with X's and O's. We don't want to show personality. We want to get mad at bad flips. We want to get mad about all kinds of stuff. We don't want to let excitement into our lives. And I think there are folks out there who are the Eeyore sports fans who do feel better when the teams lose. We see it with the Royals all the time. They have a couple of games where they win and people are mad that they win, mad at every trade 100%. That they make.
That's true.
Are some people that live in that world where negativity is what drives them and what they thrive on and what they need in their life. And when something good happens, they don't have that negativity and they don't have the ability to say, yeah, I told you so, right? And there's always those guys out there, whether it be baseball fans or football fans or basketball fans, they want to be the I told you so guy. Told you this guy wasn't going to work out, and then they feel better about themselves. Those people are sad individuals, right? So it's okay to go out there and to be excited about it. That's what sports is supposed to do for us. We're supposed to be excited about our teams. If you're not excited about your team before the season starts, why are you even wasting time being a fan? This is the time of the year to get excited, and this guy up here, Josh Simmons, has given us something we haven't seen in a very long time, and it's cool and it's awesome and I like it, and I'm not going to stop being excited about it.
Kiss
my ass.
They announced
Josh Simmons, offensive tackle from Ohio State.
I hate this pick, actually. Don't like it. Don't like it.
So if you could see any current player versus a past Chiefs player duke it out, who would it be?
Well, I've seen some of the best battles in camp. Willie Rowe versus Jared Allen was, I mean, phenomenal. It was Hall of Fame versus Hall of
Fame. Awesome.
And Willie Rowe owned that dude. And he's probably going to own him this weekend in Canton, too. I hope they're both there. Like, Willie just kind of pushes Jared aside. It was blissful. It was so cool to watch Jared Allen and Willie Rowe go at it. And then if you want to talk about fighting, Eddie Freeman, the late Eddie Freeman, was wailing people with his helmet one training camp practice, and that was always really fun to watch, you know, stuff like that go on. But I mean, the Willie Rowe, Jared Allen is arguably, not arguably, for me to this day, the greatest one-on-one battles that I've ever seen on the football field. And to see Willie Rowe, who could barely walk, frustrate the hell out of Jared Allen was just awesome. It was so fun to watch.
I was going to say, did Jared give him some run for his money?
No.
No, no chance.
Not at all. Exactly. I mean, that, look, to be fair, that was Jared's first, second, third years or whatever it was in the NFL very early on in his career. But, man, Willie Rowe just made that guy look like not a Hall of Famer, man. He just absolutely – at that time, Jared Allen was. He was a dude out of, like, Idaho State that was supposed to be a long snapper. But, like, in year two, when Willie Rowe just kept having his way with him, I've never seen somebody do their job, you know, this side of Harrison Butker as easily and as gracefully as Willie Rowe did his job at left tackle. And hopefully Josh Simmons can be somewhere similar to that, you know?
You got one that you want to see duke it out or a few?
Yeah, I was thinking like an Oklahoma drill, like Derek Johnson versus Christian Okoye.
No, God, no. I wouldn't put DJ through that. That's not fair to Derek Johnson.
Nigerian nightmare.
Are you out of your mind? Derek Johnson would get crushed like a tin can in an Oklahoma drill against Christian Okoye.
They're both about the same size. DJ's got 2 inches. I looked him up yesterday on Pro Football Reference for this reason. Okoye's like 245. DJ's like 240. Yeah.
No.
6'3", 6'1". Yeah.
No.
Yeah, no.
Derek would be, I mean, he would just get destroyed by Christian Okoye.
Get up with those 80s pads they used to wear.
Hell like, yeah.
You could sit two Sidney Sweeneys on his shoulders.
Yeah.
We'll have to tell DJ your answer.
I will tell him that. He'd probably go, yeah, please. I don't want to do an Oklahoma drill against Christian Okoye.
And then you got, in my opinion, I'd love to see Neil and Derek go after it.
Yeah.
Oh,
I know those
one.
Are two pass players, but like those two guys just being in their prime athletic freaks. Priest Holmes versus, gosh, he'd be a good one in this current team. Priest Holmes had some pipes on him, though.
Yeah, he did. I mean, some of the most unbelievable arms, sculpted arms that I've ever seen.
What about Chris Jones versus Neil Smith?
That'd be fun.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That'd be great.
Yeah, dude.
Heck yeah.
All right, winner's the best defensive lineman in Kansas City Chiefs history, and 95 wins.
Yeah, I don't even think, I mean, Neil's great, but I mean, Chris Jones is a Hall of Famer. You know?
Yeah.
And then people were asking on the text line, why do you have Creed Humphrey and Josh Simmons going to? They always do one-on-one drills just for like strength and endurance to see if you can get in there. So I mean,
position grouping works.
Yeah,
out,
and they'll do that all the time. They'll do it with running backs. They'll do it with wide receivers where they'll like, for sure, you know, try to shake each other.
Offensive lineman over here. And you got the coach with the ball in the air and everybody waddles over.
It's awesome to see.
Yeah.
And then you
he turns his hat around backwards and he gets down in a stance and he gets the ball on the stick. And you know, you've seen that guy.
And before we get to the poll question, you have a media take?
Well, I was just going to say about what we've been going through in training camp. We've got a closed training camp. The media should. I love the fact that media can't watch practices during the regular season.
Cameras up?
Yeah.
Cameras down.
Because the way that they have reported so far on training camp, and I'm not just talking Kansas City, I'm talking nationally with everything. This is the boy who cried wolf at its finest, man. They need to close down these camps. How many tweets did you see yesterday about Xavier Worthy going down and then Hollywood Brown going down? And they were all back on the next play or the carted off stuff that has become legendary now for the last couple of years in camp. Everybody's carted off. Nobody wants to walk. We're million-dollar athletes. Nobody's going to walk a half mile to the training facility. Guys are carted off all the time because they don't want to walk. It's the end of practice. They're
Neil
tired.
Jones.
Yeah. We're using the term carted off way too much. We're talking about these injuries that really haven't happened way too much. It is like a race to get information out there to be first as opposed to be somebody to get it right. And for me, it's been like, and I know I can unfollow a lot of this stuff, and believe me, I have, but it's a lot of overload of the same stuff, of injuries that aren't happening, that aren't, I mean, the fan base tizzy that we had on Thursday morning with Justin Fields, it literally went from they better trade for Kirk Cousins to, oh, he's getting his toenail clipped in the tent and back the next day.
Running.
Like this is the NFL media on steroids right now, and it needs to stop because you're putting everybody into a tizzy right now of things that really aren't going on at training camp. It is clickbait stuff. I can't wait till the season gets here because everything that's happening now in practice is happening during the week. Just nobody there to see it.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
And it's better that way.
Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
We're just here to continue to piss people off. This week's poll question on a Wednesday on X, the Fesco and Dusty poll question. Will Josh Simmons be the best left tackle since Willie Rofe? Yes or no?
Who's his competition besides Eric Fisher?
Yeah, I was going to say Eric Fisher.
Brandon Albert was a very good left tackle.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the question. Will Josh Simmons be the best left tackle since Willie Rofe? Yes or no? Coming up on the other side, the guy that does not like Josh Simmons or people that come after him on Twitter, Jay Binkley. He'll join the show on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Hey, what yo up, man?
On your home for Kansas City Sports, 96.5 The Fan. It's time for the College Football Report with Jay Binkley.
I'm still not sure I'm not Dusty's dad, but regardless.
On your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Diving back into it with our guy, Jay Binkley, who loves two things, football and...
Boobs are great.
That's right.
Oh, wow, Jay, yeah.
Binkley, why were you trying to fight everybody like Joshua Simmons yesterday at practice?
You know, I just get tired of all the stuff. I'm kind of like, you know, you guys just played the Adam Schein thing and things like that, and Mahomes behind Lamar Jackson, where Mahomes is 4-1 in his career against Lamar Jackson. He's 4-0 against Josh Allen in the playoffs. Yet let's put him behind, considering no left tackle and no wide receivers last year. Let's put him behind that. So just like to remind people, I'm just tired of all the talking. I want the games to start, man.
Well, I'm
tired of NFL Live. I'm tired of NFL Network. I'm tired of the tweets on Twitter about T.J. Watt walking in with an oscillating tower fan at training camp. Let's go.
Oscillating tower fan. I mean,
that made news the other day. Right. That made news the other day because TJ Watt was carrying in an oscillating tower fan into the dorms. I mean, that just riveted.
Did it say 96.5 on it?
No, it wasn't that kind of fan dust fan.
But see, I make the case now we need to close these training camp practices. There's too much media coverage of this stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's overblown stuff with everybody's being carted off. Everybody's hurt. Then everybody's not being carted off. They're tired and they're taking a ride up a hill. And then they're back in the next play. Like yesterday, every wide receiver got hurt.
Well, that's what it is, Bob, because they got carted off. Well, were you in the front of the cart or the back of the cart? Because that does make a difference.
Yep.
And also, are they going up just to use the restroom?
Yeah, which part of the cart was Neil Jones on?
He's on the front desk, man.
He is. Hey, Jay, before we get into Josh Simmons, because I think this is going to lead you there, you told me last night you think right now Harrison Butker is Brett Veach's greatest move yet to his date, his term as general manager. And look, I mean, I'm not going to argue you on that one. It's an unbelievable move, and people don't realize the value of Harrison Butker. Tell us why you think he is, and can Josh Simmons take over that role?
Well, I started thinking about it when the Honey Badger, you know, retired. Because I remember, you know, Dustman and I doing a show the night they signed the Honey Badger.
Yeah, I dropped the S-word.
The Honey Badger, people were, like, wondering what moves they were going to make. And he kind of, you know, changed the culture of what Kansas City's defense was. Was he all about that title? I think Mahomes was obviously more important than that, but it did change the culture, and he changed the position from a versatile safety that can play corner, can do all these different things. Like, Honey Badger transcended the way the teams look at defensive backs in the draft, so obviously that was on the list. The Orlando Brown trade with the Ravens, it was seen as a rival, and they get Orlando Brown, not the best tackle in the world, I get it, but they didn't have one, and they got one from a rival, and they got pick 58, which turned into Nick Bolton in that trade. Parker Anger for Charvarius Ward with the Cowboys that became the corner. I think that was one of Brett Veach's best moves. But when Cairo Santos went down and it was Brett Veach's first move, what to do, Carolina had drafted Harrison Butker in the 7th round. They were throwing him on the practice squad because they still had Graham Gano. And the Chiefs, with Veach and Dave Tobe, they was a kicker named Harrison Butker they liked in college. They liked through the combine. They liked through the draft process. And they said, you know what? We think this is our guy. So they grabbed him off the practice squad, threw him on the Chiefs 53-man roster, and he helped the Kansas City Chiefs get 3 Super Bowl rings. So, yeah, I think that was his best move. But if Josh Simmons works out, by far and away, his number one move that he's made. And I'll give the Chiefs training staff credit, too, because they deserve some. Because Trey Smith kind of went outside the norm of what the Kansas City Chiefs draft. He wasn't It wasn't surefire. It took the training staff, you know, saying, all right, we should draft this guy. We believe in him. And with Josh Simmons, that was the whole thing with the pick of Simmons was I didn't think he was going to be day one ready. And that was the thing. The Chiefs needed a day one tackle. That's what they needed because they tried to get at Kingsley in the previous draft. In the second round, they get him. That didn't work out a left tackle. They had to get somebody, so somebody injured. But the training staff said, you know what? He's fine, just like they said about Trey Smith. So, yeah, when we talk about Andy Reid, when we talk about Patrick Mahomes, we talk about Brett Veach, and we talk about this dynasty, I think it's time to give the Chiefs training staff a lot of credit too.
How much credit are you ready to give Karlaftis to step up another gear this year?
I love it, man. I just love his attitude. I like the way that the way he's going about his business. I like the way he just continually keeps to get better, and I think this is going to be his best year. Now, I think Matt McMullen had him getting 14 sacks this year. I'm going 12 sacks this year, but I love his motor. You know, same head coach in college that Ashton Gelati had, Jeff Brohm, who went from Purdue to Louisville there, but just his motor, and I think he's very exciting, but he leaves plays on the field. Like, there are so many sacks that George Karlaftis could have had. I mean, still the pressures are way up there for George Karlaftis, but I cannot wait. I'm glad he got that contract extension. I'm a huge Karlaftis guy.
Jay, are you a huge Xavier Worthy breakout year guy this year?
You know what? I am. And just last year, we talked about a lot on character concerns. Like last year, just the guy that he was at Texas and kind of people didn't believe in him because of his size, and yet he leads the Texas Longhorns. Yeah, the Texas freaking Longhorns led him in catches and yards for three straight seasons. In two of those 3 years, he led him in touchdowns and was number two. That year he wasn't number one, but he proved toughness, man. Was he ready right away? No. I mean, there wasn't as much pressure on him because of having Hollywood Brown, who is the same skill set he is, having Rashee Rice. So even though he was the number one pick, first-round pick, you know, he didn't have that pressure because those guys were there. Well, all of a sudden, they get hurt, and all of a sudden, it's like step-up rookie. And his development from a guy that wasn't, you know, getting the ball on the sidelines very well because he was out of bounds and not completely in it, to him getting the quarterback's trust and being, quote, the guy to try to lead the Chiefs to three straight Super Bowls, who led the Chiefs in yards and receptions throughout the postseason. And, yeah, he put up huge numbers in the Super Bowl. But I get it. A lot of that was garbage time, but I don't care. He manned up when the Chiefs needed him most. And for him to come in year two when he's increased in toughness and physicality, I cannot wait for Xavier Worthy.
Bailey, I want to bring this up for you because I think left tackle conversation is over. I think it's already been won. I think it is Simmons' position. Agreed. It now shifts over one spot to the right. Who's going to be the starting left guard for you this year on the Chiefs opening day week one against the Los Angeles Chargers in Brazil?
I still think it's going to be Kingsley,
okay, to
be honest with you. I still think it's going to be him. I know Jalen Moore, I think they're giving him some reps all over the place just for versatility. But I'll say this about Jalen Moore. Like, he went to Western Michigan as a tight end. Like, he was recruited as a tight end. I know he's left tackle by trade, and that's where he is, but it shows his versatility because this guy was a tight end when he went to Western Michigan, and they said, you know what, you're a tackle. But that just proves his versatility to be able to play everywhere across the line because, you know, he wasn't a natural left tackle in high school or anything else until he got to Western Michigan. So I like that. Kingsley, I think, is better suited to guard. Now, it did set the Chiefs back that they had to throw yet another first-round pick. Well, he was a second-round pick, but another high pick at a tackle in the draft. But just his size and the way he can move, because Kingsley could always move. He's one of those guys that's just a really athletic guy, and I think guard suits him well, to be honest with you. But I think he'll still be Kingsley at left guard and Jalen Moore behind him. But I love the way the line's looking, man. I mean, how can you not?
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes needs this. Like, he needs this. As much as he needs receivers and receiving talent, and you keep giving him talent, he needs this offensive line to work. So, yeah, it's been fun to watch so far.
All right, Jay, before we let you get out of here, you're a voter in the AP Top 25. Your thoughts on the Big Ten wanting to do away with preseason polls?
No! What am I going to do then?
Right, exactly. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard somebody say. Fans love this stuff.
No, they do. And you know what? The Big 12 went away from the media poll this year because they had Arizona State last, and we saw how good they were last year, which I agree with them on that. But no, these are the things that people argue about. I mean, people, you know, hate top 25s and all that, yet we always reference them. We always talk about it. Well, they're the 8th-ranked team, the 9th-ranked team, and then the TV networks will say, hey, it's number 2 versus number 5. So, you know what? I still think there's a need for them because it gives us a barometer of how we view football teams going forward. Take it with a grain of salt if you want. Yes, the one at the end of the year matters the most, but I think, you know, having – it's like list, top quarterbacks or whatever. We like these kind of things.
Yeah, of course we do.
I'm good with the top 25.
Yeah, I am as well. And you know, the Big 12, if they don't like the way the media voted, stop having so many nondescript teams that nobody knows in your league, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And just wait till the SEC snags Clemson and North Carolina and conference realignment shuffles yet again.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Bink. Well, we'll get another day of camp under our belts today. We'll see who fights who, and we'll see on your Twitter account who you're fighting, Bink. We appreciate the time. We'll talk to you.
It's all about being tired of people, Dust, man. That's all it is. That drives me nuts, seeing what people are saying about the Chiefs.
I'll never let them see you sweat, Bink. We love you. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
All right, fellas. Take care.
Bye, Jay.
Jay Binkley right there for you on a Wednesday. We'll get back to the poll question. We'll also talk about the Royals and what might be a surprising stat that you didn't know you knew. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.